Cornucopia Radio presents.
Welcome to A Little Bit Racy, the improvisation comedy panel show that you just couldn't make up. I'm your host, James Cottle, and if you love comedy, you'll love Mock the Week. But in this show, panelists race against a time limit of just 3 minutes to improvise their way to a destination. They begin from different starting points and must use an assortment of randomly assigned objects, companions, and modes of transport, but they must keep all of them with them when they travel. They also have to overcome another panelist who will improvise obstacles to try and stop them. So, let's meet the panelists in tonight's show. It's a laugh a minute with this guy, or three laughs per round of racy. It's David Ruddock. She's on a 2-year sentence, one of the longest speeches ever recorded. It's Jo Darcy. He said he'd kill to be on this show. We'll miss you, Jacob. It's Elliot Green. He's got 99 problems out of 100 on the A Little Bit Racy trivia quiz. It's Tom Harrison. So, let's move on to the challenge in round one. As British cultural icons, the Doctor Who and James Bond franchises have decided to host a joint reveal of their next stars. And they are Idris Elba and Idris Elba. The argument over who gets him dissolves into a brawl. So, you'll have to get to the Media City in Salford to break it up. So, attempting the challenge first will be David Ruddock. Your randomly assigned objects, companions, modes of transport, and starting points are a skip full of After Eight mints.
Thank you.
Your companion is the costume department of Downton Abbey.
Thank you.
Your mode of transport is the wrong trousers from Wallace and Gromit. And your starting point is waiting to jump out of Brian Blessed's birthday cake at the peak of Mount Everest. Wonderful. So, best of luck to you trying to get to Media City in Salford. Joe, your job is to stop him by improvising any obstacles and tossing whatever you can in his way. So, best of luck to you both. David, your time starts now.
Happy birthday, Mr. Blessed. So as I, that's just reenacting what happened, because I popped out the cake wearing nothing but the sash saying, Brian Blessed, you're my God, you know, along those lines.
Yep.
Fortunately, the wind picked it up and threw it off me, and I was completely naked. And then the costume department of Downton Abbey thought, quick, we must clothe him for the good of all mankind. God. Way to put yourself down.
Yeah.
You're ugly, David. Well done. So I put on Lord Grantham's clothes, and then everyone immediately thinks, oh, he looks very prestigious. He must be able to tell us what to do, and we should follow him. So I say to Brian Blessed, lend us your best Sherpas, Brian. And he goes, right-o-ho, and we borrow them. They're all dressed up as well, because why not? We got loads of costumes. And we all start trekking down the mountain, which is fun for all of us. Oh, I had the wrong trousers, so I'm leading the way, obviously.
Well, Brian Blessed is so outraged by your nakedness that he shouts and causes an avalanche.
Which is quite handy, because it just means we get down even quicker.
Except that you're buried under all the snow.
Damn it. Luckily, the costume department also contains props.
One or two
spades, I'm thinking.
Downton Abbey are famed for their spades, so yes.
There's a whole spade episode where there was like a riot and that sort of stuff. Anyway, so we start
season six
coming soon. So we start digging ourselves out of the avalanche, and Brian Blessed is just, you know, Brian Blessed's got such a loud boo voice, he just shouts the snow away from us. So we're now at the bottom of the mountain, and we're making our way towards the
Media City
in Salford, which is in Manchester. So we got a way to go yet, but thankfully, like I say, I've got the wrong trousers, so I lead the march in a very rhythmic fashion. Mm-hmm. And everyone sort of comes in behind me. It's fun.
All of a sudden, the costume department realise that that's not actually 1920s, and they've already moved on from the 1910s. So your wrong trousers are completely outmoded, and they need to come up with a whole new design.
Did not see that coming, I'm going to be honest. The costume department then decide to repurpose it as Lord Grantham's wrong trousers, which would be a skirt, I guess.
One minute left.
So I'm No, it's still at Mount Everest. Bloody hell. Why does this always happen to me? Oh my God, time travels slowly when you're floundering. I'm wearing a skirt and pretending to be Lord Grantham and giving orders to people because apparently that's fine when you're posh. I've got the skip. I start laying a trail of after eights out for the costume department to follow because they love after eight mints because they're working around that kind of department all the time, yeah? So I'm laying them out as we go towards... let's say we're in Europe now, which is a big place, I know, but...
Somewhere.
Bear with me. I'm wearing a skirt, it's fine, don't question it. So we get to France, let's say, and they love chocolate in France. So we say, look, would you help us get to... Salford, which is in Manchester, if I give you this skip full of chocolates.
10 seconds left.
And they say, d'accord. And so they dive into the skip and then the costume department pushes it into the water. We float because chocolate floats. I don't think you knew that.
No, I didn't. Thank you.
You know something new every day. So, yeah.
And that's it? You're going to end on that note?
That's it. I think so.
Okay, David Rudder. Woo!
Chocolate floats, that's what I'm ending on. Chocolate floats.
You're just somewhere in the ocean, just on a floating skip. Wonderful. Okay.
Oh, my God.
So now, Joe, it's going to be your turn to attempt round one. Your object, companion, mode of transport, and starting point is a perpetually hot potato.
Okay.
Your companion is Shia LaBeouf. Your mode of transport is a group of elderly ramblers. And your starting point is facing George Foreman in a boxing ring in Kazakhstan. Typical situation.
Okay.
So, best of luck to Joe and best of luck to David trying to stop her. Joe, your time starts now.
So I'm in front of George Foreman and I got these old ramblers around me and they start making casually racist slurs because of their age. George can't take it anymore. He's getting past it and he goes and runs off and they start criticising his cooking. They much prefer it on a normal grill. He's out of the picture. So
You got there too quick. I was going to contend that, but you written all over it already. Don't always carry on.
Don't interrupt with nothing.
So we're outside and it's freezing cold. Luckily, I've got a perpetually hot potato and I attach this to a stick and jangle it in front of the old ramblers who are particularly hungry after their hike and they all set forth. I tie them with their ropes to all their flasks, which acts as a kind of like raft. Drags me along and we make our way steadily across. We're going to just go through Russia because, you know.
But they're now grumbling because they're too hot.
They can go in the snow, it's all right. Because they're too hot, and the potato then is put on the ground in the snow in Russia, and it melts and it creates a wonderful cool pool. And then they have a nice splash, and then they refresh and they go ahead. Thank you for giving them that nutrition.
But now they've absorbed all the water because they've got very saggy skin, and now you've got very bloated ramblers.
Okay. I then attach each of the ramblers with their melty skin as informal footwear, and I use them as skis to go across.
These aren't people anymore.
Don't let me get in your way.
Me and Shia LaBeouf, we have a conversation because this is a bit indecent. So
you try to, but Shia LaBeouf is notorious for being non-conversational.
He doesn't need to speak except to Harrison Ford, which he does because he calls up and he says, can we borrow those red arrows that you have in Indiana Jones, please? Like we had in the last film. We get one of the ropes from the old people, tie it over the red arrows. They take us straight over to Manchester Airport. Boom. Collect them all up together.
All the way in Manchester?
That's what the red arrows do. They travel wherever you want. Indiana Jones, you've never seen it. They go
but
the
ramblers are insisting that they have to go on a ramble because they're in their home country of UK. So they walk away from Salford City and you have to go and chase them. But meanwhile, Shia LaBeouf is refusing to cooperate because that's the kind of guy he is.
I tell
1 minute left.
All the ramblers that Shia LaBeouf is obviously a cross between the French and some Islamic State religion and they all get really angry and they want to chase him. So they all start chasing him. Again, I join on. Shia LaBeouf's in front because he's got these old ramblers and we head right up to the Trafford Centre.
By this point, the hot potato has seared your skin to the point where it's now attached to the hot potato.
Like the guy from the original Raiders of the Lost Ark who got his hand on the door. I then use the scars as a special key to get into Media City. They will recognise it from great films.
Yeah, why didn't you do that?
Hello. And we arrive there pretty much. So,
so obvious.
Brilliant. Yeah, we had 10 seconds left and that'll do. Joe Darcy, everyone. Fantastic work from our first pair. We are now moving swiftly on to our second pair. Attempting the challenge first will be Elliot. You have with you Rudolph's Red Nose, the Duracell Bunny, a limo driven by a sugar-high toddler. And your starting point is Walt Disney's cryo chamber in Disney World, Florida. Lovely. You're trying to get to Salford, Media City. And Tom, you're trying to stop him.
Yes.
Best of luck to you, Elliot. Your time starts now.
Right, well, Walt Disney, he's still there. They hide him in Space Mountain. So I'm in there. I'm staring into his dead, cold eyes. Well, not dead, but cold eyes. And this Duracell bunny is shouting at me. He said, right, we've got to go. We've got to go. And it's Christmas.
Yeah.
It's cold. Rudolph comes walking past. This Duracell bunny just smacks him in the head. Rips his nose off his... It's still glowing. Yeah. Rips his nose off. And we make a run for it. Security's chasing for us. We've managed to get outside.
Yeah. Worse still, you hear the metallic hiss of cryo sleep being ended. Walt Disney wakes up and he is angry about what side won World War II, man. He is not impressed. So you have the full, wholesome family anti-Semitic rage of Uncle Walt bearing down on you.
I just shout to him. I shout a few German words to him and he's happy. He goes straight back to bed. He thinks the war's still on.
I'm convinced.
He thinks Silent Night and stuff.
Fair enough.
And we get outside and there's a limo there and we just dive in. We don't ask questions. I look through the thing at the front. I can't even see anyone. I can just hear this high-pitched noise like... Ah! I look over. This toddler's just crawling on the floor, like rocking backwards and forwards. He's been in the ice cream parlour. He's absolutely off his head on sugar. I say, right, you drive. You use the pedals. I stick the Duracell bunny on the dashboard. Kid floors. Duracell bunny's on there.
Can I go out on a limb and assume that a sugar high like toddler isn't the best limo driver in the world? So, at most, you're rear-ending vehicles swerving all over the road, smashing through bins because that's cool.
Yeah, he's all over the place. He can't see where he's going. The Duracell bunny's a bunny. He hasn't got a clue either. We've got Rudolph's red nose on the front. People think we're an ambulance, so they're trying to get out of the way.
1 minute left.
We bomb it up to New York, and then when we're there, we think, oh, we're still in America. So we have to push the limo into the water, and luckily it floats.
Can you go into why?
We pump the tires up so much. There's that much air in the tires that it just floats.
Okay, all right.
So we stick the Duracell bunny on the back. He's kicking his legs like I don't know what. We've put some more batteries in him. He's off, and we're going straight across the Atlantic. It's a bit choppy. And we land in Liverpool.
Your tires burst. You've overpressurized them.
We start to sink.
I was saying you're in Liverpool, but
but we luckily, the Scousers have just nicked the tyres, so it doesn't matter that they're deflating. It doesn't matter that they're deflating, but we're on the rims now, so we've got to push the limo all the way to Manchester.
Ten seconds left.
We're in the canal now. It's not deep, so we can just push it along.
I can't interrupt you in this bit, feel free to finish.
We end up in Media City, but Bill Turnbull's locked the door and won't let us in.
Elliot Breed, everyone. Excellent stuff. Now, Tom, your job is to do better than that.
I can't promise anything.
You have with you a ball pit, Miranda Hart, a mule who only responds to compliments, and your starting point is Barack Obama's holiday home outhouse in Oahu, Hawaii.
Okay.
So, best of luck to you, Tom, and best of luck to you, Elliot, trying to stop him. Tom, your time starts now.
Okay, first give me like 5-10 minutes. Now that's done. Okay, so I'll set up on my mule and I'll be like, who's a good mule? Mule is spelt wrong on the board. The problem is the companion on this show is normally allocated to me as someone that I'm filled with venomous hatred to. And surprisingly, Miranda Hart, although I appreciate her style of comedy about as much as risking a fart with norovirus, I don't massively have anything against her as a human being. She seems perfectly fine, so this might be a bit stilted and awkward. We'll kind of hitch the trail, maybe somehow we'll get out of Hawaii, hitch across America, sort of...
You know Hawaii is an island.
Hawaii is an island, that's why I said get out of Hawaii and glossed over it. Yeah, sort of hitch across America. The problem is no one's going to recognise... Normally I go by celeb... Oh, go.
Your mule has just packed in because Miranda Hart's having a bit of a crisis, so she's complaining. She's telling him he's a horrible mule.
I go to Miranda Hart and I go, listen, you're a comedian. you've got a big following in one country. It's fine. we need to get through this. We need to go to... I give her a pep talk. Oh, I'm just trying to think. I can't trade the mule yet. This is going to be difficult. I lavish endless happiness onto the mule. I'm just reassuring it. Do they do liners anymore? Are those a thing? we take a transatlantic liner. If that isn't a thing, then we're bringing it back. Yeah.
There's an iceberg.
Oh, God. Oh, no, this is the one weakness of the transatlantic liner.
1 minute left.
Okay, I consult with the captain and tell him to steer into the iceberg and ram into it so that the front would be dented, but the bulkheads wouldn't be broken, which, by the way, not gloating, probably would have saved the Titanic. Hashtag just saying. And then we wait for a rescue boat to pick us up and carry us the rest of the way. We'll go to Southampton as we're randomly bringing the Titanic into this unnecessarily. And then I kind of hitch up my mule and ride triumphantly through the motorways and a slow and painful space up to with Miranda Hart on the back, slightly angry. I don't blame her. I was kind of out of order. Yeah, go.
The people of Manchester don't like Miranda Hart and take offence to her and try and run her out of the city.
10 seconds left.
Am I okay to tell her to wait and meet me afterwards? Because I'd only do that and then I couldn't meet
gamble,
her.
It's a gamble,
Well, hopefully she'll be there when I get back. But yeah, pretty much that's what I do.
All right, Tom Harrison. Fantastic stuff from both pairs there. But we are now going to move on to round two. And of course, we can only have two winners going through to round two. And those two people are Joe and Elliot. Oh. Congratulations. So, in this round, the winning panelists must improvise their way to a whole new destination. They may use their object, companion, and mode of transport again, but this time they are allowed to dispose of them if they wish. However, the defeated panelists will try and stop them once again, this time using their own object, companion, and mode of transportation to improvise obstacles in order to prevent them from becoming the a little bit racy Idris induction intermediary. So, let's see what the challenge is in round two. You break the two squabbling production teams apart, only to discover that Idris has already signed on for Mandela 2, Long Walk to Vengeance. The Doctor Who and James Bond teams want blood. So you'll have to race to Hollywood, California, and convince Idris Elba to compromise. So, attempting this challenge first will be Joe, who, just to remind everyone, has with her a hot potato, Shia LaBeouf, yes, and your group of elderly ramblers, and David, you're trying to stop her, using your skip full of After Eight mints, the costume department of Downton Abbey, and the wrong trousers. So, best of luck to you trying to get to Hollywood, California from Salford. Your time, Joe, starts now.
Right, okay, so we head down to the canal, and because they're all ramblers, they've got loads of friends who have these big barges, and so I stick them in all the way through, much like a slave ship, because that works. And
But waiting for you above one of the bridges on the canal is my skip full of After Eight mints, and as you approach beneath it, I start tipping up, and you get covered in an avalanche, quite apt, of After Eight mints.
Yeah, and I rub it all over me because it acts as kind of a greasy kind of protection against the waves.
Wow.
Picture that, if you will.
I am.
10 seconds.
Thank you for giving me permission. Just give me a minute here.
Generous. I go into the water in front and I use the rope to attach it. I'm now very slick with my After Eight stuff. Also, I'm an added temptation to the ramblers who are fitfully trying to get through using their saggy arm skin attached to their rambling sticks as some kind of makeshift oar.
Not people. Carry on.
If you don't mind, I won't picture that one though.
No. Might make you take longer. We don't know. Keep going. Right. So we're going up ahead and we get all the way to the shore. We get to New York. Yes.
But being elderly ramblers, which is the elderly bit, that's the important bit, they love Downton Abbey. So the costume department of Downton Abbey, people all dressed up, and they're prancing around the shore, and the elderly ramblers say, oh my God, it's the Downton Abbey cast people thing. So they get off the boat and they leave you alone. They've got no more manpower. Or elderly man.
Not a problem. Not a problem. I'll tell you why. Because Downton Abbey, they're always Hollywood bothering, aren't they? So they're on a plane. So the old ramblers join onto them and I just get to follow them, cruise along. I say follow the Downton Abbey costume department all the way to Hollywood, which actually cuts out the whole East Coast. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for doing that.
Ah, I didn't foresee that coming.
They end up at that, what's it called? Chinese cinema. Everybody's on the thing with the concrete and the handprints in. I'm like, right, me and Shire are going to keep going. The ramblers cause a massive commotion. Everybody surrounds them. So the pavements are clear. We just jip it to the studios. Shire knows all the people. Go on.
Except Shire has just suddenly realised he's wearing the wrong trousers. And and the trousers have been programmed to kick you in the shins repeatedly.
1 minute left.
Ow, Shire! I shout as I punch him in the face.
Thank you. Good.
Jump
yeah,
in.
That'll do, yeah.
I don't need to walk, though, because luckily the wrong trousers walk all by themselves. So I chuck Shire out and I take my battered old knees and put them inside another working pair of trousers. They walk all the way up there. And thank you for that extra mode of transport. I'm now there. In your face.
Oh. Joe Darcy, everyone. The time to spare. Fantastic. So now attempting the challenge is going to be Elliot, who, just to remind everyone, has with him Rudolph's red nose, the Duracell bunny, and is travelling in a limo driven by a sugar high 2-year-old. Tom, your job is to stop him using your ball pit. Remember that you have your ball
pit.
Yeah,
I totally forgot about the ball
pit. Oh, yeah. Miranda Hart.
Now we know why he didn't win.
And your mule, who only responds to compliments. So, best of luck to you, Elliot. Your time starts now.
Well, Bill Turnbull finally let us into the Media City, and he helped us rebuild the limo, and we've got tyres on it now. We've refueled the toddler on Iron Brew and Iron Brew Crunchy. He's ready to go.
Well, I'm going to throw some balls from my ball pit. Right? There we go. to try and get in the spokes of the wheels and sort of spin it out.
Well, we've got a 2-year-old. With us, he loves ball pits. He just collects all the balls and leaves them in the back of the limo, ready for later.
Oh God, damn it! He stole my ball pit. Okay, Miranda Hart, who, by the way, I was massively hard on. I'm an empty vessel of a human being, fueled only by hate. I'm sorry, Miranda. You're not great, but you're not, you know, an awful person. She jumps onto the spoiler of the limo, sort of T-1000 style, going up it. What she does when she gets there is down to her, really.
We just keep bombing it down the motorway. The toddler's trying to swerve and knock her off the end. At the end, she ends up hitting an old Ford car on the motorway, and she gets knocked off. She's done. Oof. She's gone. She's done for it.
Where? Okay. Yeah. No. That's. Yeah. She's dead. Pretty much. We can suspend disbelief a bit on this show, but that's a goner.
So we bomb it to Hull, and we get on the ferry to Belgium. And we go through Europe, and we keep driving. The toddler, he's on the other side of the road. He's even worse now. Yeah. And we end up in Moscow. And
Wait, you're going through Russia?
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
I have to ask Uncle Vlad for a favour, and I bring out Rudolph's red nose. Red, get it? Yep. Red. Russia.
Oh, right. They've not been communist since the early 90s.
I show it to him and say, this was Lenin's. And he believes it. And he takes it off. And I say to him, Uncle Vlad, I need a favour.
1 minute left.
And I say, I need to get to Hollywood. He's like, okay, no problem. It's fine. We put you on rocket, send you to the other side of Russia. You get, you know, you walk across Bering Strait. So we get on a rocket. We go to the top of Russia, get to the Bering Strait, and I'm there hitching a ride off one of the guys from Deadliest Catch. He takes me. They take me to Alaska. And then we have to bomb it down there.
But what you haven't realised is you've caught the deadliest catch of all. A mule who only responds to compliments. I don't know what my end game is here, but I'm going to take the remaining life jacket and jump overboard and leave the mule to just worry about whatever.
We try and distract the mule with the Duracell bunny, and funny enough, they both fall in love. They're in the ball pit at the back of the limo doing whatever they're doing. And we're going down the Pacific Highway down to Hollywood, and then we end up in Idris Elba's new house. And just as all the rest of the production companies are there, and we tell them, no, go away, and we throw balls at them from your ball pit.
Fair enough. Okay, Adrian.
Fantastic. I like the love story as well. There's a moral to this. Right, well, fantastic work there from both pairs, but of course there can only be one winner, so we're now going to find out the conclusion and who has won tonight's A Little Bit Racy. Success! Idris Elba, Doctor Who, and James Bond are all very happy thanks to your efforts. So, you settle down to watch the first installment of Britain's newest cultural export. Dr. Bond, Long Walk to Vengeance, with a vengeance. And I am happy to announce that you, Elliot Green, are the winner tonight! Congratulations. That's all we got time for on this show. I'd like to thank panellists David Ruddock, Joe Darcy, Elliot Green, and Tom Harrison. I've been your host, James Cottle, very much against my better judgment. See you next time. Enjoyed A Little Bit Racy and would like to find out more? Follow us on Twitter at A Little Bit Racy and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/A Little Bit Racy.